When planning for today, it's amazing to spend time in worship, silence and reflection, and just, as I said this morning, just listening to what God wants to bring and what he wants to speak to us about. All we have to do is open up our ears, read his word, and ask for the Holy Spirit to show and reveal to us what his will is. You know, we should all try it at times. I don't know about you, but it's a wonderful thing to spend time just with God in his presence. Jesus did it quite a lot. He used to wander off and just spend time with his Father, just to make connection again. Sometimes that's things that we need to do, is spend that time in reconnecting with God. And so later on this morning, we'll be taking communion. And for many of you, you may know, this will be the first time that I'll have the privilege to serve you communion. So please be kind to me. The definition of communion in the dictionary is sharing or exchanging intimate thoughts and feelings, especially on a mental or spiritual level. But we know it's so much more than this definition alone. Taking communion is a time of intimacy with Christ, recognizing him as the Son of God, accepting as our Savior, realizing that we are all sinful and need God's grace and mercy that we could only receive by accepting Jesus as our Savior King. The communion table is here for everyone to come. There is a place at the table for all of us. It's amazing that God gave his only Son for us. In 1 John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We are connecting ourselves with Jesus at communion by going back over 2,000 years on that very first Last Supper and partaking in the breaking of bread and drinking from the cup, the new covenant. Then we bring that forward to today, and Christ is here this morning. The Holy Spirit is here this morning, waiting to talk to us, communicate with us. It also makes us think of the future, of Christ's return, so that we connect to the past, the present, and the future. But we are here in the today. Last week, I've been trying not to eat too much food to improve my fitness, general weight, as you can all see, and health. I've got to get into my suit for my niece's wedding coming up. And I did try my suit on last night and realised that I've got quite a way to go. But isn't it funny, though, as soon as you make a decision to deprive yourself of something you crave it even more. I don't know about you. One lunchtime this week, I came home because Adam was at home. And I sat there, and Nicola had made me a fantastic salad. She'd made me salad with sardines and stuff like that. I'm sat there with my lovely bowl of salad, as you do, thinking I'm being really good and healthy. And Adam, being his 24-year-old that can sort of eat as much as he wants and not put weight on at all, he sits and goes, "Oh, Dad, do you know what I fancy?" I know, and off he went, and he came back, and I could smell some toast cooking. I thought, that smells nice. So he brings out toast with butter. And either you like it or you don't like it, Marmite. You either hate Marmite or you love Marmite. Who likes toast, butter and Marmite? I mean, that's... it might not sound amazing to you, but to me it was like, And as I said, I've been eating salads all week. Believe you me, my mouth was watering. But sorry that I may have gone a little bit off track there to some extent. But bread. Who likes bread? Yeah. Any specific type, anybody? Then lots of nuts on, yeah. Any others apart from Wenzel? Sourdough. French stick. Sourdough. Anybody wholemeal, granary? Yeah. Oh, it's got to be French stick. When you go to France, the bread is stunning, isn't it? When you go there, I don't know what they do, but nice and fresh in the morning, but within about 5 hours, you could hit it with a piece of rock, couldn't you? You've basically, the French say, you've got to eat the bread now, and then that's it. You've just got to get rid of it. But, you know, what do you like on your bread? Do you like butter and Marmite? Bovril. Yeah, that's another good one, Bovril. Anybody like marmalade?
Yeah, marmalade.
Oh, marmalade.
Apricot jam.
Apricot jam? Marmalade. Anybody like raspberry jam?
Raspberry.
Oh, raspberry jam as well.
Seedless.
Seedless raspberry. Yes, we don't get it in your teeth, so when you smile in the mirror, you don't see all the... That's right. Mine is still, though, mine is still the Marmite and the butter, I must admit. Although homemade raspberry jam is a quite close second. But, we said, bread fills us up, what? It fills us up physically, doesn't it? Yeah, and we feel quite satisfied from that bread, you know, Phil. That's why I have to be a little careful. That's why I mustn't eat too much bread. Because, you know, I do have to get fit for the wedding. It's not only that, it's for when you're dancing on the dance floor. If you carry a little bit too much weight, pulling calf muscles, damaging your knees, back of your hips. It'd be like that, wouldn't you, after a while, isn't it? But in John, in the Bible, we read about Jesus feeding the 5,000. I don't think any of our supermarket chains could produce enough bread and fish at such short notice, do you? No. However, our very own Jackie and Rob seem to be able to produce a feast for many. Yeah. So Jesus had only 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. What a stressful situation to feed 5,000. A situation outside the control of the disciples, but not Jesus's. Jesus blessed the food, gave thanks, and all 5,000 were fed physically. And amazingly, 12 baskets of leftovers. That's amazing, isn't it? What a feast. As we know, Jesus and his disciples leave and go to the opposite side of the lake. The crowds, knowing and seeing the miracle signs that Jesus has just done, get into their boats and make their way to find him. But Jesus knows their hearts and the real reasons. Marcus, would you like to come up and give the reading?
Reading is taken from John chapter 6, verses 25 to 40, Jesus, the bread of life. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All whom the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks at the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Marcus. What a most wonderful passage. What a promise. So perhaps we are physically full on our normal bread, but not necessarily fulfilled. We still feel an emptiness inside that cannot be filled by food, drink, money, or possessions. I remember when I first encountered a Christian group, when I was in my teens, and thought, they have something I don't. There was a hole inside me that needed to be filled. In John, as we just read, Jesus says, "He is the bread of life." Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." What a promise. By accepting Christ, we will not go spiritually hungry or thirsty. However, when our stomachs are full, we can neglect his word and have a spiritual drought. We feel tired, exhausted, and worn out. But do you know, we have a place at a special table that is available to us all. Don't overfill on the bad stuff, but stock up on the good. All we have to do is accept Christ as our Saviour and ask. The invitation today is, come to that table. Feed on the bread of life, where you will no longer hunger or thirst. Amen. Before we lead into communion, there is a song that's going to be played in the video. It's got some fantastic